Random thought. Is it fair to cut someone out of your life for not getting vaccinated? And, you know, you got to ask this question in this day and age when, you know, the vaccination is so political. And I think we've seen this recently, like Jennifer Aniston, who I think we saw the story a couple of weeks ago, and she decided to cut off certain friends who were unvaccinated, who chose not to get the vaccine. And I saw this pop up again, like, hey, is it fair if you cut off someone because, or cut them out of your life because they chose not to get vaccinated?
So, clarifying question. So, did she say that from cut off, like, we're not friends anymore, or just I can't be around you because you're not vaccinated?
So, Jennifer Aniston did the whole, well, we won't be hanging out like we used to. So, she cut them off in that sense. And this one was more so just like cutting people out of your life because they've got, okay, look, this is where it is. I mean, like, think about it. I think 2008 and 2016, a lot of people were cut out of a lot of people's lives because of politics. And it seems like this is another political divide in the friendship space.
Well, I think the thing is, you have the right to cut anybody off. You don't have to hang out with anybody for whatever reason. You know, if all of a sudden I hate ranch Dorito chips and that's what you love to eat, I don't have to hang out with you. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's nothing wrong with that. And people shouldn't get upset either on either side. If you and I are friends and you chose not to get vaccinated and I'm like, hey, we can keep doing this on video, but I'm not going to come visit you when I'm in Atlanta because you choose not to get vaccinated. You can be mad if you want to, but I didn't say I don't ever want to talk to you again. I just said we're not hanging out. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You know, and the people who choose not to get vaccinated, they shouldn't get butthurt because the people that they know that are vaccinated don't want to be around them in person. I don't think you should totally just say, hey, I hate you. Because we had a relationship before the pandemic. So their choice and decision that they're making is for them. They're wrong, but it's for them. It's for them. And I totally get it. But I don't think and I wouldn't even like to use the word whether it's fair. Mm-hmm. It's a choice. You can choose to stop associating with people who chose not to get vaccinated. And you can choose to stop associating with people who are vaccinated. That's up to you. I think it's weak, but you could totally do that. Yeah, that choice. But I don't think people should get butthurt about it. And to me, this is like way too serious. This isn't, you know, this isn't do you like KFC or Popeyes or I don't hang out with KFC people. You know, this is something about this killed millions of people. So it's a big deal. And especially people that have, you know, pre-existing conditions, compromised immune systems, or even have children with compromised immune systems. It's a big deal because those children can't get vaccinated. So,
you know, you just look at it as it's the purge, right? It's the friendship purge. I mean, social media made you quote unquote friends with way too many people anyway. So the 2008 elections was a purge of friends because you realized some of your friends are racist as hell. 2016 made you realize that some of them snuck through since 2008 and you got to purge them again. And now as we get through this vaccine, guess what? It's another purge because you're finding out that a lot of decisions made on this and not every decision made on whether to get vaccinated or not is political. But a lot of it is. And it's been so politicized. You're welcome. You've just been given the COVID purge.
Yeah.
Friendship group is a purge.
Purge. Hey, you saw me do it last year during the first lockdown. And people talking shit. I'm like, oh, you don't want to be friends anymore? Great. Unfriend.
A bourbon and an unfriend button. Click, click. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, we have. It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 55. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
You know, this story, first of all, we're recording on Thursday, and we recorded on Thursday last week because I was traveling last week. This week, you're traveling, so we're recording on Thursday if you're listening on Monday. And a story that popped up last week that we kind of talked about that ended up cutting it out of the final edit of the show. Because so much had happened since then, and it's a good thing too, because when the episode dropped the next day, everything popped off on it. And talking about this Gabby Petito story, which you'd been following very closely, and I'm sure you're not surprised by what was found here in the results of this story, right?
No. I mean, it's sad. It's just a crazy story. I mean, there's so many pieces to this. You know, not only did these two go on this van life deal and they were going to blog about all that, he comes back by himself, mm-hmm. and the parents of the girl hadn't heard from her daughter in like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So then 9/11, they file a missing persons. This dude left by himself, been there. Now, this couple were living with the guy's parents and engaged. Mm. And so their parents never said anything. to the other parent. Like, there's so much behind the story. Yeah. I personally don't think the guy's in the U.S. anymore. I think he's
gone.
I hope they check. Yeah, but it's just a crazy story. But what started
Red flag
to happen,
number one, they were living with his parents. Red flag number, you're engaged and living with his parents. Red flag number one. I just want to
well,
say
well, red flag number one, you're engaged with his parents. Red flag number two, y'all both aren't working, and they're going to fund your trip to go hit all these, you know, part. No. Yeah. But, you know, it's different pigmentation of folks do that. My parents would have been like, there's no way in hell, A, Terrell, your girlfriend's living here, or fiance, I don't care. Because my mom was like that. When I was younger, she's like, I don't care if you're married. Until you're married, you're only sleeping in the same room, and doors got to stay open. I was like, Mom, what if I'm like 20? Are you married? No. Doors open.
Are you in my house?
yeah. My house? Doors open. But
it's funny you bring pigmentation, because obviously that's been a lot of the talk since the story broke.
It is. So now there's all this talk about why do... It seems like the media goes after white people and focuses on trying to find them, and they don't do it with black people.
Yeah, and missing white woman syndrome, yes.
Yes, and I saw that, and I was just like, I don't agree. And here's why I don't agree. Is there a difference? Yes.
Because, do tell.
Yeah, yes, Malcolm. Go ahead. I don't agree in some cases, because you just can't paint that with a broad brush and say that it's always missing white woman syndrome. If you look at this story, it's not just the missing white girl, it's the story is what went viral, right? Now, on the flip side, there's not enough stories of people of color that are missing that goes viral. And so that's the key. That's what happens. That's what motivates social media. Whatever goes viral, everybody jumps on. We're talking about this because this went viral. There's a whole bunch of other missing white, brown, green, other kids. We're not talking about those because those stories aren't viral yet. And so there's that aspect of it. The other aspect of it is you got to look at income and education level, right? And so if you have a family that has money, educated, they know how to connect with law enforcement, all these different folks. We're going to get to the media. We're going to reach out. We're going to do other stuff and make their story get known. If you're dealing with some cases where a family might not be as educated or as affluent or have the finances, it's harder to do. And the media doesn't pick it up, because think of, if you look at the stories the media picks up, what's the story with the black woman that had the house caught on fire and she was going to grab the pizza and get out? You remember that one? That one meme that went viral?
Yep.
Or think of Anton, whatever. Hide your kids, hide your wife. They raping everybody and her. Like, that went viral. Right?
Yeah. But we know why. Just like Charleston, what was it? Was it going to McDonald's up in Cleveland? Yeah. Because they find the most... D.L. Hewley has a great bit on it, by the way. And first of all, and I love mentioning the fact that we get to mention D.L. Hewley, because one, he's one of my favorite comedians. But two, I remember when we were back in college, how much I liked the two of y'all look. You never saw it, but I still see it. but he had a great joke about, like, the fact that the media will see a black person. Hey, sir, do you know what happened? And like, yes, well, let me tell you about the facts. And like, no, you speak too well. You over there.
How come white people always find the crazy looking black man to tell them what happened? Not you, sir. You look too normal. You, the barber from Coming to America. Tell the country what you saw. Well, I was coming back from McDonald's. And that motherfucker said McDonald's white people leaned in close. This is gonna be good.
That is what makes news when you're talking about black people. You want to talk about going viral? The Gabby Petito story went viral depending on what circles you're in. I hadn't heard of it until right. It popped up in the very end. But at the same time, these are the same things we're talking about. They pick and choose who they're putting on TV and what and how they're going to portray them.
Well, they are. But on the other side of that argument is anytime I've seen these stories of missing persons, what's the first thing that they normally have that speaks for them? A lawyer.
White people. Oh.
A lawyer. And so
another white person. Gotcha.
You're able to afford a lawyer, you know, to help you, right? Mm-hmm. And think of the young black man that was shot in his apartment by the white lady that was a police officer that went to the wrong room.
Mm-hmm.
His family got a lawyer, got somebody to be the mouthpiece for them and speak on their behalf. And look what he did with that. And it helped get justice. right? And so I think there's also a difference between that. It's like having the resources, having the connection, and having the influence, and some people don't. And so, yeah, I think there is a bias on poor people. You know, there's a bias on poor white people, because normally when you see a white person missing, it's not a white person out of the trailer park. Mm-hmm. It's a white person whose family has money. There are white people who go missing that no one talks about because their parents don't have money and they're on meth.
No, that's true. And here's the thing I will say too, because I do believe there is still a whitewash imbalance anyway, and there is a whitewash bias when it comes to the media. You know, it's very obvious. They don't show the worst white people on TV 99% of the time, but you get to the news, you're going to talk about the black folks. And you know this, having been in San Antonio and meeting a lot of people from the Valley who didn't have but one black family in their town. And what did they see? The things they saw on TV. That's what they knew about black people. Mm-hmm. You know, and the one person they knew in high school who was the quarterback and the point guard on their basketball and football teams, right? So that's what they knew about black people until they met you and me, and were like, okay, so y'all are not all gangbangers and drug dealers. But the other part of it is that you've got this imbalance because of the way who's running the media. But the other part, I think that's our fault, is that we don't take those stories and take that much interest in those stories ourselves, right? So this is where I have to agree with you, because stories pops up and goes, if it doesn't involve a celebrity, well, we don't really care about it too much. And we've got to start making those stories. We got to start caring about those stories. If we don't care about it, you can't expect anybody else to care about it.
100%, right? 100%. George Floyd, prime example.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody got, you know, riled up around George Floyd, but who were the first people to do it?
Yeah.
We were. And then mm-hmm. once you start to see the video, people are like, shit, they're right. And they mm-hmm. supported it. You know, there are more black people who will talk on social media about who's going to be in the next verses, and we'll see in their Facebook timeline a story of a black person missing. They don't share it. They don't do anything with it. They just keep scrolling on, right? As you're sitting on the toilet, you just keep scrolling. And to your point, if we want to see that change, don't expect the media all of a sudden to say, you know what, we want to focus on more black people. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They focus on the things that we get upset about or yeah. that we call out. And so when we look at racism, anytime somebody is shot by police, anytime any of those type of injustices happen, we're the first ones in the streets. And yeah. so then the media focuses on that, and they focus on the cause of why we're doing it. But you can't expect them to say, well, the media has a bias towards missing black people. No, there's a whole lot more to it. And it's too, you can't paint everything with a broad brush. Because then what happens is when you do that, I call that, you get the Al Sharpton syndrome. When Al Sharpton went down to Duke to go after those lacrosse players because they supposedly raped this black woman, we come to find out, no, that didn't happen. He was quick to rally and do that shit.
Yeah.
Without getting all the facts. And so I don't want the media to all of a sudden just start going to every single black story until mm-hmm. they get the facts. Because as soon as they find out, oh, he wasn't missing. He was just whatever.
He's off with his other family.
Yeah.
But I will say both things can be true. There still can be that bias, and we still do need to care as much as we care about verses. But let's be honest, it's really intriguing to know, should Diddy battle Jermaine Dupri? Because I think Jermaine Dupri will wash Diddy's ass. Let's be real. Jermaine Dupri's got some hits.
That's, I mean, here's the deal. It's, I feel you, but I would take Diddy on that one, because
you see how easy I was able to sway this conversation?
Yeah, yeah. I'll take Diddy. That's because we're drinking. It's so easy. But I was just like, wait a minute. Whenever I hear Diddy, the first thing I think about is All About the Benjamins. And that was back in all my clubbing days. That song is still hot fire. And then when they did the Bad Boy, it wasn't a reunion. They were on some award show, but they did a Bad Boy deal. Mm-hmm. And Little Kim came out from under the stage. It was the one where Diddy tripped and like fell through the little hole.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about? Is mm-hmm. that one. And then Little Kim gets raised up from the graves. You want to rumble mm-hmm. with the bee, huh? Bzz, fire.
Oh yeah, no, Diddy's got hits. Let's not deny that. But stop acting like Jermaine Dupri doesn't have them either. Jermaine Dupri has a catalog that people forget about so much. It's like even when, so he was on an IG live with Fat Joe, I think it was Fat Joe, Ja Rule, Diddy, and Jermaine Dupri. I think Ja Rule was on it. No, maybe he wasn't. But definitely it was those three and somebody else, right? And Jermaine Dupri called Diddy, was like, it was said, look, hold up. Show me the R&B song that you have, R&B artist you had that sold 10 million. And what was Diddy's rebuttal? Well, I got more money than you. He's like, yeah, that's from liquor. I don't do liquor. I do music. Jermaine Dupri's got a catalog. Y'all forget Jermaine Dupri had Mariah Carey. He resurrected Mariah Carey's career, okay? When she was played out, he's the one that brought her back. The Emancipation of Mimi, that's JD. You know, Usher. You know, you think about the classic Usher hits that you love, that's JD. You know, his catalog is deep. And Diddy can't even go, well, I dated J-Lo, because Jermaine can go, I dated Janet.
Yeah. What'd
you say?
No, touche. Touche.
You know, so last week I'm in San Francisco, and went out there for the Her Lights On Music Festival, and went out there Friday. Saturday, get up, heading down to Levi's Stadium, because, you know, I got to go see the greatest stadium of all time, where the greatest team of all time plays, even though the museum was closed by humbug. And this story.
You're in New Orleans?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. No. I thought you were.
I didn't go to Paperbag City.
Was that you who set the dome on fire? Did you do that?
No need to. I think they did that so they wouldn't have to play us.
I think Falcon fans did that.
So this story popped up, though, where the San Francisco mayor, London Breed, she's now defending herself, or attempting to, because she was caught partying Friday night. And that's not the problem. Cool. Yes, you're the mayor. Yes, you can party. And there's no mandate against partying. There is a mandate, a mass mandate in effect in California, in San Francisco, in the city of San Francisco. No matter where you go, you've got to have your mask and whatnot inside. You know, take it down to drink. Well, she was caught standing up, dancing her ass off, maskless. So that picture circulates. Everybody's talking about it. And her thing was, my drink was sitting at the table. I got up. I started dancing because I was feeling the spirit and I wasn't thinking about a mask.
And quote, we don't need the fun police to come in and micromanage and tell us what we should or shouldn't be doing. Yet you put out a mask mandate to micromanage.
And do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
She's definitely a parent.
Yeah.
She's definitely a mom.
Do as I say, not as I do. I told you, you can't smoke weed, but you mind your business when I step out in the backyard at 9 o'clock at night.
And to her defense, she said that, you know, at the time that was happening, she was at this Black Cat nightclub, right? And Tony was performing. Well, some of the members, because, you know, Raphael Sadiq doesn't perform with them very much at all. But when It Feels Good hits, you just got to get up and dance. So my favorite, the blues. All you ever give me is the blues.
Oh, I love that song.
You might forget that your mask wasn't on. You just put the drink down. You're like, oh, shit's bad. Yeah. All my time.
Ooh, that's my song, girl. Ooh, that's my song.
And, you know, somebody in the club was like, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. You're a public figure. What the hell were you thinking? Mm-hmm. You know, by doing that. That story was just, that blew my mind. But what doesn't blow my mind is your favorite Flexus fan, Ted Cruz.
King of Flexus.
So there's a hearing going on around this voter ID and racism in Texas.
Yeah.
And so Ted Cruz was truly trying to, like, bulldoze people and be Ted Cruz. And so he's talking to this law professor, I believe, Fernita Tolson of the University of Southern California Law School. Mm-hmm. And so he says,
are voter ID laws racist? Professor Tolson.
Thank you for that question. So it depends. One thing we have to stop doing is treating all voter ID laws as the same.
Okay, so your answer, I want to move quickly. So it depends is your answer?
Yes, that's my answer.
Okay, so what voter ID laws are racist?
Apologies, Mr. Cruz, your state of Texas, perhaps?
Okay, so you think the entire state of Texas is racist?
Total little teenage girl. Okay, so you think the entire state of Texas is racist? What about requiring an ID vote is racist? She never said that. She never said the entire state of Texas is racist and requiring a voter ID is racist. But that's
the only teenage girl, but that's also politics.
Exactly.
You take that little piece and you highlight it and you go, so this is what you're saying. That is not what I said, sir. And I love the way you handled him.
Exactly. And she even said, hey, I'm not saying the entire state of Texas is racist. He goes, you just said my state of Texas. So you tell me what about Texas voter ID laws is racist. She says.
So the fact that the voter ID law was put into place to diminish the political power of Latinos with racist intent and had been found to have.
You're asserting that. What's your evidence for that?
The federal district court that first resolved the constitutionality of Texas's voter ID law.
Okay.
You go, girl. You know, yeah. But again, this goes back to why I don't like Ted Cruz. And it goes beyond Snowpocalypse and Cancun, where he still could have worked in Cancun, but chose not to. It goes beyond all that. But we got to vote this dude out. And I hope that people are paying attention. Texans, keep score. We can do this.
You know, the best part of that hearing was the fact that the next two experts that he called on backed her up.
So your view is voter ID laws are racist. How about you, Mr. Yang?
I agree with Professor Tulsa. Voter ID laws can be racist.
Okay, that's two. Mr. Science?
There are some voter ID laws that are racially discriminatory in intent.
How about in practice? In intent, fine, you say there's some racist with a malevolent intent lurking in the back of their mind. But let's just talk about it as a practical matter. When I go to vote, they ask me for my ID. I pull out my ID, I show it to them, I vote. Is that racist?
If the law that requires you to do that was motivated by racially discriminatory intent
set aside intent. I'm asking about the effect.
Yes, in effect, I think that there are discriminatory effects from a number of voter ID laws.
Ted Cruz is like, you're supposed to be on my side.
Come on, baby.
What are you doing? You know the playbook. Did you not see me later? I drew the play out. I was about to throw you the pass.
Yeah, I teed it up. That was an alley-oop.
But, you know, no matter what, man, Ted Cruz kind of showed right then and there. And I saw this on social media, and I saw people just like, you know, I hate Ted Cruz. And people say, so many people had so many negative comments about Ted Cruz. And I didn't go to everybody's profile who made those comments to see if they were in Texas or not. Because they could have been from Missouri. They could have been from California. They could have been from New York. They could have been from the Dakotas.
God forbid the Dakotas.
Yeah, and if they were in the Dakotas, they would probably be in the minority feeling that way. But I'm just going to say that in Texas, they're still the minority in that case because they keep voting this guy in. And that's what's going to happen. And I'm sorry to say this. I love your effort. I love the fact that you keep bringing these things up. And this is a great example of Ted Cruz trying to gaslight something in his actual job. Okay, again, like, why would you try to go that way? You're calling Texas racist? No, just you and your buddies. Unfortunately, Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida. Texas is going to Flexus. And the king of Flexus shall return to his throne in the Senate in 2022. And then that means he's going to also be one of the candidates for presidency in 2024. And it's going to be not because a lack of effort on your part. And I applaud your efforts. So keep pushing. You know, I like to see this.
Good. I try my best. Trying to be consistent. So something that came into the rgrtpod at gmail.com was a story that luckily I've already seen. Because it's kind of cool when you guys send us stuff that I've never heard of. I'm like, this bullshit is crazy. But I've already seen this bullshit. And this story is coming out of the state of Colorado. I deal a lot with Colorado right now in my professional life. And it's so hard to hire out there because recreational weed. I'm just like, why is this a law? But anyway.
What job am I interviewing for again?
Yeah. So there's been this viral story about this contractor who did some work for this woman. And the woman wouldn't pay. And so the contractor goes back with a sledgehammer and breaks it all up. And so it's hilarious. So a little bit of backstory. She's getting this bathroom remodel done. And
it's tile in this one, right? Because
yes,
it looks like the destruction.
It's tile.
Like
and so the total project was going to cost $7,500. And what she's paid up front is $3,300, which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And so She said that she wanted to examine the finished product to make sure water would run properly through the new fixtures before paying the difference. Now, you would think that that means, hey, let me just run the water, flush the toilet. Is it good? Great. No, she wanted to wait a little bit before she paid to make sure it was good. And he was like, what the hell? Because contractors, for those that have dealt with contractors or built houses, whatever, contractors got to pay their guys.
Yeah.
They got to pay them quickly. And those guys only get paid weekly. And so they need that money. Right. Because they've either paid out of their pocket to pay the labor and they're using this money to help, you know,
and to buy the parts,
so to buy the material.
The deposit was just to buy the material.
Yeah. Yeah. So what this person did, him and his partner, which I assume is his wife, this woman wouldn't pay. And it wasn't like she wouldn't pay until she turned everything on. I think she wanted to wait a little bit. So, for example, I got my house built, put a contract on it in September. And then we are closing February because it's done. Imagine me saying, hey, before we close, I want to live in it for about 30 days. And I just want to make sure everything is good before I sign all the paperwork. It doesn't work that way. And
well,
so
all the mural that you have back there in the hallway, you're saying who that mural, if after the guy painted it, you're like, well, you know what? Before I pay you the balance, I just need to make sure that the people who come over actually like it. They're admired and they're in awe of it. Because if they're not, then we need you to come back and finish it.
Let me see. Yeah, let me see how my Saints fans come. I have some family coming in town in 3 months. Once they look at it, I promise I'll hit you up on Venmo. It just doesn't work that way. So what this contractor did, and kudos to him, came in with a sledgehammer and broke up everything that he did. A whole bunch of walls. Put holes and everything, just busted all up. And this woman just had to stand there. Now, is that, I was surprised in the video, like, why didn't she call the police? Well, you know why? Yeah. She was wrong. But they're both going to, like, take each other to small claims court. I don't see how anyone wins. Because if you busted everything up, how is the judge going to be like, you need to pay him for the money, for all the work that he did that he destroyed?
And you're not going to want him to come in and fix it after this.
Exactly.
Get somebody
Even up. If the judge is like, you pay him, but you go back and fix it. Because now he has to buy more material. He's going to take a loss if he has to go fix it. So I don't know how that story is going to end.
And he's going to do a half-assed job.
Yeah.
Purposely.
I don't know how that story is going to end, but I just think it's so funny. Like, could you imagine going to the barbershop and you're like, hey, give me a taper fade around the side, trim up my beard. They hit you in the mirror after you're done. You're like, let me go out in the public and like I want to hang out this weekend and see what people say about it. And then if it's good, Monday I'm going to hit you back.
You know what happens after that?
Yeah. I'd cut an eyebrow.
Tell me how that works for you.
If you did that to me, if I was a barber, I wouldn't mess with your hair. I'd hit your eyebrow. I'd be like, you know what? I forgot a little edge up real quick. I just need to get you sharp. That's cool. Monday's when you're going to pay me? Cool. Bzz, take your eyebrow off.
You know, it's funny you talk about hair in this one because I was in Cleveland when this happened. And it wasn't a barbershop, though. It was a salon. And unfortunately, the hairdresser was a man that got involved. And one of the hairdressers in there was a man, the owner of the salon, and got involved. But this woman who said she wasn't going to pay because she didn't like how it was done. And they dragged the weave out of that woman's head. I mean, and you can hear her screaming as they're pulling that. Because, of course, it's sewn in. So, I mean, as they're dragging and ripping the weave out. And it's, again... Look, man, there's a service. You don't like it. You don't have to visit them again. The woman was wrong. And I really was like, this contractor is crazy who does stuff like this. And then I finished reading the story and you kind of elaborated on it a little bit too. And I'm like, I probably would have done some shit like that too. Like, you're not going to enjoy my hard work and not pay me. Nah.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, what sounds like what happened at that salon, that's a black Karen. But what's the name? You know, what's the black version of a Karen's name? I'm curious.
Bonquisha. Always.
What? Bonquisha? No. 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 I think the right name is, what's her name with the glue girl? The glue in her?
Tessica Brown.
Tessica. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to start saying it. Calm down, Tessica.
Let that woman live. Her 15 minutes are up. Let
her live. Hey, if any of our listeners, your name is Tessica, that's your mama's fault. But I'm sorry. That's the new Karen. The black Karen is called Tessica. So let's just embrace that.
Oh, my God. Let's get out of here before we get ourselves in trouble. What you sipping on today, man?
I was trying to look for the one that you were sipping on last week. Bro Brothers, yeah. And I couldn't find it at the place that I was at. So this is some tin cup.
Okay. I'm not surprised. I mean, you are in Texas. I'm sure they're not going to highlight too many black distilleries in certain parts of Texas.
Little judgy.
I'm kidding. I kid.
Just because you're in Hotlanta, all of a sudden, you're just so fist in the air.
Don't be mad because I got the black bourbon.
I'm just sorry. It's just like as soon as the bourbon hits your lips, all of a sudden you're just like, lift every voice and sing.
Come on, T. There we go. Yeah. Let's see if you know the rest of the words.
I do. Yeah. Good try. Good try.
So today I'm doing this right here. I found this today. Willet. Have you had this before?
No, but I think you bought that just because the bottle looks hot.
That's exactly why I bought it.
Yeah. I mean, because it looks like you have some phallic aspirations, and that's what the bottle is for.
I mean, don't put your dreams off on me, okay?
I'm just saying. It's like,
that was your first thought when you saw it, and I get that.
I'm just saying, if the blue pill doesn't work, at least you can just buy something you can look at and be like, God, I used to be something.
Oh my God. Anyway, it was a good one. It's actually nice and strong. That's what she said.
Wait, not after a few of these, it's not. We've all been there.
I don't know about you, but bourbon is my friend.
No, any relationship I've ever been in, I'm like, if it's a whiskey night, don't even touch me. Just let me get drunk.
If it's a whiskey night, you better run. Hide. Hide. Because it's home.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here before I get in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Hey, make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRTPod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
Yes, Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.